Good evening. My brothers asked us to read from Psalms 107, 1 through 32. Speaking on Thanksgiving, in the Psalms there's many, many testimonies of thanks throughout the Psalms that we can read from many, but as brother has asked this evening, Psalms 107, 1 to 32. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereon. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul was melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. We see here many times in this chapter how the words were used here. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Let's come to him in prayer this evening.
You might want to keep your Bible open to Psalm 100 chapters. Psalm 107, we're going to be looking at at this from time to time. And as I mentioned, I preached this morning at Hades, and so some of the illustrations I give here, some of you heard before, so I hope you understand. But I think I might go into a little more detail some of the illustrations I use. And I know sometimes when you give illustrations, if they're 20 years ago, there's teenagers here that never heard it. So I hope it'd be beneficial. And I hope you remember that when this message is over, it's going to be your turn. It'll be your turn to talk about how the Lord has worked in your life. I want to ask you a question. How many of you have been redeemed? Could you raise your hands? Okay, thank you. The reason I wanted to know is because Psalm 107 is written for those who have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, I realize Psalm 107 has much historical background, and I realize that this psalm has much prophetical implications. But for today's message, my focus will not be on the historical background, even though we're going to be looking at it some, and my focus will not be on the prophetical implications. Rather, I'd like to look at it in a general way for the redeemed. Psalms 107, it has four main sections. Verses 1 to 3 is the introduction. And the first section ends with verse 8. And I'd like to read this together as a congregation. So if you want to find Psalm 107 and put your finger at verse 8, we're going to read this together. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The second section ends with verse 15. And why don't we read verse 15 together? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The third section ends with verse 21. And why don't we read verse 21 together? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And the last section ends with verse 31. And why don't we read verse 31 together? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Are you sensing that God expects something of the redeemed? You know, when my children were young, and I repeated something to them four times, I mean, that would have meant it was something pretty important. You know, this is important. Do it. And I think the psalmist, through the Holy Spirit, is saying, thank the Lord. He is so good to the redeemed. He has, and the words here, it's actually talking about a kindness. The word mercy here means his kindness to the redeemed. Let the redeemed praise him for his kindness and for his wonderful works. The phrase in verses 8, 15, 21, and 31, where it talks about the children of men, the word in the Hebrew is simply Adam. It means children are of Adam. The redeemed are to praise him. If you're a son or daughter of Adam and you've been redeemed, you're to praise him. Let's look at the first section. And this is a testimony of the Lord bringing salvation to the lost. Verses 4 to 8. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Sometimes they were hungry, sometimes they were thirsty, and they cried to the Lord, and he was good to them. I like verse 7. It says, he led them forth by the right way. They had been in bondage in Egypt. He led them into the wilderness. He provided their needs. He led them forth by the right way. The Lord, in his goodness, provided salvation from the bondage, salvation from their wanderings. Is there any here who has this testimony of redemption? Were you in bondage? Were you going the wrong way? Were you spiritually hungry and spiritually thirsty? And the Lord provided salvation? He redeemed you. He took you by the hand and he led you by the right way. Isn't that the testimony of the redeemed? I remember when I was about 6 years old, I'd started catechism at the Lutheran church that my family attended. And I still remember the organ music. I remember how the Lutheran church, how colorful and elaborate and decorated they were. And I remember every Sunday attending the Lutheran church because this was the way. This was the path that I was in. And you know, had I continued in that way, I believe my life would have been drastically different. Because I believe the path I was in was a way, a path, where I'm not sure if I would have ever attained a relationship with God. Or who knows who I would have married. Or even how long I would have been married. Or what bondages would have overcome me. At 6 years old, that's the wilderness. That's the path I was in. But then the Lord led my mom and dad in the right way. Remember one day we were headed for church along Pigeon Hill Road, and we turned off the normal path. We made a right on Orchard Road, and we stopped at a large white church called Pleasant Hill. And I remember asking, Dad, what are we doing? And I remember him saying, the Lord has led us to go to church here. And I agree with that statement. The Lord, even at 6 years old, was leading me in the right path. He led me to a place where I would get taught sound doctrine. He led me to a place where I would accept Christ as a personal Savior. His hand was there the whole time. And I want to praise the Lord for his goodness to me and his wonderful work to the son of Adam, Ray Wilmer, in leading me to the salvation in Jesus Christ I now have. I can't praise him enough. Section 2 is verses 9 to 15, and it's a testimony of the Lord saving those who have backslidden. And this describes the children of Israel as they rebelled against God and were taken captive into Babylon. So as we read verses 10 to 12, just picture them taken captive in Babylon. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Do you see the pattern here? They had salvation from the bondage in Egypt, but then they backslid. They fell into sin. And the Lord chastised them, and they cried unto the Lord in verse 13. And then he lifted them to new heights. In verse 14, it says, he brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. How good God was to redeem them from their sins. How good God was to chastise them, to lead them back to repentance. His wonderful works brought them back from captivity into the land of Israel, back to their homeland, back to worship God. And the psalmist is saying, we need to praise him for his hand upon us, even as we strayed, even as we were weak. The psalmist is saying, we are glad he cast us into Babylon. We are glad he made us repent. His goodness lifted us up to him. Is there any here redeemed who has this testimony of his goodness. You had salvation. You, in a sense, were delivered from Egypt. But then you backslid, and you fell into sin. And the Lord chastised you, and you cried unto him, and he lifted you up to new heights. Is that your testimony? My thoughts, as I thought about these verses, went to how the Lord worked with Peter when he backslid. I'm going to read Luke 22, verse 56. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. What a testimony that was. A negative testimony. I don't know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also one of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of truth, this fellow also was with them, for he is Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he spake, the cock crew. And it says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You see, even as Peter, this great man of God, as he backslid, as he denied the Lord, even the Lord, in the midst of his greatest suffering, he looked upon Peter. He drew him back to him. Peter repented. He went out and wept bitterly. The Lord did it. The Lord worked in this man, Peter, that needed help. Oh, how we need to praise the Lord for his goodness to us and his wonderful works to us, the sons and daughters of Adam. We saw in the first section a testimony of the redeemed obtaining salvation. We saw in the second section the testimony of the redeemed, how the Lord restores them that are backslidden. The third section is verses 16 to 22, testimony of the Lord healing them from sickness and near death. This describes the near-death experiences they had as they were in captivity in Babylon. Verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. They were so sick, they couldn't eat. The gate of death, they were that close to death, they could hear the doors creaking, they could hear the doors of death opening, and they thought death would swallow them up. Verse 19, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. They thought, Lord, help me. I don't want to go through those gates of death just now. Lord, there's more I need to do. Lord, heal me. And verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Can you see the captives in Babylon? Maybe some had leprosy. Maybe some had a plague. Maybe some had a fatal disease. Can you see them backed up? They were facing the gates of death. The gates of death were in front of them. And they cried to the Lord, and he hears them, and he delivers them from death and destruction. The psalmist says, children of Israel, the redeemed, you need to praise the Lord for his goodness. His works have been so wonderful to you. Is there any redeemed here who the Lord has saved from the gates of death or from sickness? I remember one day at work, I got a phone call. This is before we had cell phones. I didn't have one at that time. And I went into my boss's office, and it was a call from Sharon, and she was crying, and she said she had got a call about the results of her test and that she had cancer. And at that time, Sharon and I and the family, we didn't know where that journey would take us. And we cried to the Lord in our trouble to save us from distress. And Sharon went to the specialist. We learned more about what she was dealing with. And Sharon was anointed. And then she had surgery. And that was 16 years ago. I can testify that the Lord saved Sharon from the gates of death. He sent his word and healed her and delivered her from destruction. And even if the Lord would have not chosen to work that way, because she was redeemed, she would have entered even a far better world than she is now. And verse 22 says, no, I'm getting ahead of myself. And as I was thinking about what happened with Sharon, I just thought, oh, how I need to praise the Lord for his goodness, his kindness, and his wonderful works to the daughter of Adam in healing her of her cancer. Verse 22 says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Over the years, the children of Israel, they sacrificed many lambs on the altar. There was also grain offerings. The bull was slaughtered for a sin offering. Sometimes the sacrifice was a goat or a turtle dove or a young pigeon. And they had peace offerings, sometimes a bull, a cow, a lamb, or a goat. All this was required by God of the redeemed. And all this pleased God. But you know, these sacrifices are no longer needed because that perfect sacrifice, the perfect offering, has come to us in the form of Jesus Christ. There is only one sacrifice that remains for the redeemed to offer, and that is the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. In Psalm 116, verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Hebrews 13, verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. It says to offer it continually. Are you redeemed? Has the Lord done anything for you? Have you taken what he has done? Have you put it in words? And has the praise of these words risen up to the Lord as a sweet savor, as you've offered the sacrifice of thanksgiving? Is it continually? Is it a habit? Do we present it on the altar of prayer? And do we do it in public? Praising God. Is it more than what the children of Israel did with their sacrifices? The concluding section is in verses 23 to 31. And it's a testimony of the Lord bringing them through trials. We saw the Lord was good and needed praise for bringing them salvation. We saw the Lord was good and needed praise for bringing the children of Israel back from their backsliding, bringing them to repentance. We saw the Lord was good and needed praise for rescuing them from the gates of death. And now in verses 23 to 31, the fourth section, we see the Lord is good and needs praised for being with us in trials. In these verses, Brother Mark read them, you notice he described the trials of a sailor. And perhaps he was referring to some of the children of Israel, perhaps as they sailed on the Mediterranean Sea, or perhaps on the Sea of Galilee. Verses 23 to 27. They that go down into the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men and are at their wits' end. Can you see that? Can you see those huge waves lifting them up to great heights? And then the waves plummet them down to great depths. And then it says they reel and they stagger. They face the trials of the storm. They don't know. These sailors, they don't know, you know, as they're reeling back and forth. They don't know if they're ever going to see their wife again. They don't know if they're ever going to see their children again. They don't know if they're ever going to set foot on solid ground again. Isn't this a picture of the trials we go through? We're out of control. The waves take us up, and the waves take us down. And you know, each of us by nature, we want to be in control. We desire to manipulate events according to our will, according to our desire. But in trials, we lose all control. It's up, down, stagger right, stagger left, to and fro. It says their soul is melted because of their trouble. Perhaps before their heart was self-confident. Perhaps their heart was, these sailors were sure, I can face anything. And now it melts away. How many of you ever, when you had a fire, maybe you're burning trash, and you had a plastic container, and you threw that container on the fire, and you know what happens to that plastic container? Did you ever just see it slowly get soft? It gets flimsy, and then it just melts away before your eyes. You know, in trials, we think we're so strong, like that piece of plastic. But when the fire hits, when the trials hit, our heart wants to melt. And gone is the confidence. Gone is the self-assurance, the pride, the boasting. Verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. At wit's end. I mean, you're out of answers. You don't know which way to turn. Trials take you up and down. You lose control. You lose confidence. And you no longer know what to try. You're at wit's end. Has the redeemed ever been there? I remember when our twin daughters, Melanie and Melissa, they were about a year and a half old. We had them both, of course, in high chairs when we fed them at the near the table. And whenever Sharon would wash Melanie's hands, she would start crying. Melissa would be happy when Sharon would wash her hands. Melanie would be grouchy. She would cry. And we just thought, well, just one twin's grouchier than the other ones. And later we realized it's not that she was grouchy. It's that when Sharon washed her hands, she had a lot of pain. And one day, she was on the couch reading a book, and she wouldn't get up off the couch. She could no longer walk, and so she would just sit on the, Melanie would sit on the sofa and watch Allison and Melissa as they walked around, ran around, and played with toys. We noticed that her hands were swelled, her legs were swelled. I guess you could say emotionally, that wave took us down pretty deep. We took her to a family doctor, and our family doctor said that she had juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, and we were told by people that Melanie could be crippled for the rest of her life, that she could grow up deformed, and in a worst case scenario, she could even die from it. And I guess you could say our heart melted. Before, you know, we were in control. We were in control of Melanie. At least it seemed we were. Now we were out of control. It was out of our hands. Our hearts melted. to see what was happening. Our family doctor referred us to a specialist at Johns Hopkins. And in the meantime, we had Melanie's condition put on the prayer chain. At that time, we didn't have the one call like we have now, but we did have a prayer chain. We had to put on the prayer chain here at Pleasant Hill. We had to put on the prayer chain at Upper Conewaga. And anyways, it took a little while to get to Johns Hopkins, but the longer time went, Melanie seemed to be getting better. And so we got to the specialist at Johns Hopkins, and he examined Melanie, from head to toe. He examined her, and he looked at all her test results that our family doctor had ordered. And I'll never forget him saying, he said to us, well, Melanie did have juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. From everything I see, she did have it, but she doesn't have it now. You see, God had chosen to heal her. And I don't know why God chose to heal her and others he doesn't choose. I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. But even though we were up and down in our trials, God was right there with us. And in our trials, when things seemed dark, we staggered. But the saints, they cried to the Lord in our trouble and brought us up out of our distress. He made the storm to calm, and the waves became still. Oh, how I praise the Lord for his goodness to us and Melanie and his wonderful works of healing her disease. Is there any here redeemed who has this testimony of his goodness? In our trials, he is walking beside us. Perhaps you can only see the high waves. Perhaps you can only see the depth of the sea. Perhaps in our trials, we struggle with doubt and fears. Perhaps you're at your wit's end, or were at your wit's end. Yet all the time, he is there. He is beside us, walking the path of life with us. And even if Melanie would have died, he would have been right there with us all the time. Not behind us, not ahead of us, but beside us, like a brother, like a friend. The Lord is good. He is to be praised and offered the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In section one, we saw the Lord's good in leading us to salvation. In section two, we saw the Lord is good in chastising us and bringing us to repentance. In section three, we see the Lord is good in helping us as we enter sickness and the shadow of death. In section four, we saw the Lord is good in helping us through the trials. Verse 32 closes these four sections, and it's an action verse for the redeemed. Did you see all the action verses about God? In verse 7, it says he led. In verse 14, he brought them out. In verse 20, he sent. In verse 30, he brought them. But now verse 32, it's a call to action for the redeemed. Verse 32 says, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. If the Lord has been good to you, if he has had actions of goodness to you, if the Lord has done wonderful works for the sons and daughters of Adam, if this is true, well then, according to Scripture, you can't be still. You will want to jump and shout and praise him in the assembly of the saints. It says, let them exalt him. Verse 27, in the congregation of the people. And the word exalt here means to raise. What it means is, if the Lord has been good to you, you will put his name on a pedestal. You will raise up his name by publicly declaring, this is what the Lord has done for me. It also says, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Psalm 111, verse 1 says, praise you, the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. You see, our sacrifices of thanksgiving It's not to be done in secret. Yes, we can pray in our closet, but our praise is also to be public. Today, the altar is here before you. Has God been good to you? Has God redeemed you with salvation? Has God redeemed you when you backslid? Has God redeemed you from death? Has God redeemed you from trials? You have. If so, what are you waiting on? The altar is up front here. Come and sacrifice. Declare to the congregation of the upright what the Lord has done for you. Praise Him publicly, for He is good. It's now time for you, the congregation, to publicly offer your sacrifices of praise. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask Brother Mark Heisey to come forward, and he's going to share a testimony. And while he's sharing his testimony here, I'm going to ask the brothers, they can come forward and sit on the front bench here. The sisters can sit on the next bench back, and then you can just take turns, brother, sister, take turns giving your testimony. And what I want to do, after we have maybe 5-6 testimonies, we have a portable mic. There might be some here that can't come forward for some reason, and we'll take the mic. Brother Mike will take the microphone back to you. So Brother Mark, you can come forward at this time.